The Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast is brought to you by Triple Threat Sports. For all your team outfitting needs, call Chris at 708-478-6090. The Black Oak in Oklahoma, the South Suburbs' finest casual upscale dining.
And Mariska's and Chris Till,
family owned and operated
only,
since 1933.
Jay.
Let's drop the puck.
We get to talk after an amazing and emphatic Chicago Hockey Podcast with NBC Chicago.com's James
Naveau.
It just goes to show you, and for all the panic we've had and hand-wringing we've had over the last handful of games. Frankly, they didn't play well. There's no arguing that. You see what this team can do when it wants to make a statement. And last night, that was an effing statement, man. They came out and pounded the Penguins. That first period could have been 5 or 6 nothing easily. And the Hawks, just there were a couple that just happened to hit Marc-Andre Fleury. I know the Penguins had a lot of important players out, so I'm not going to say, you know, if this is the Stanley Cup final, it's going to look like this. No, of course not.
No way.
But they're still a very good team on their home ice, on national TV, and the Hawks just stomped them. And it was a lot of fun. It was a nice respite from the drudgery. Is that a word? Drudgery?
Yes.
That has been the last handful of games. So it was a nice way to bounce back for the Hawks. And hopefully they're getting hot at the right time and not peaking too soon.
I thought it was a tremendous statement going into a series of games that are going to be really important. I know that Florida and Tampa, those games obviously were not great, but now you're getting into the real, I think, definitive part of the schedule where you're taking on Pittsburgh, you're going to take on Columbus tomorrow night, you're going to take on a Boston team who's battling for a playoff spot. You got a West Coast trip coming up where you're going to play Anaheim and Los Angeles next week. This trip and these games, I think, are really giving us kind of a good idea of what we can expect from the Blackhawks as they kind of enter this final home stretch of the season. And I know the Western Conference lead and the division championship, the Blackhawks are really close to wrapping both of those things up. But I'd still like to see them kind of finish off the season strong against those teams. Get your guys some rest when you need to. I think that's probably why they called up Vincent Hinostroza today. You're going to start seeing some kind of shuffling in the lineup just to get vets maybe a night off or some shifts off or whatever. But I still want to see the Blackhawks finish well against some teams that, frankly, are pretty good. And I think that begins tomorrow night because Columbus, as we both know, they've been a hell of a team all season, and they continue to be.
Yeah, I cannot wait to watch that game. I've been sort of fascinated by how quickly the Blue Jackets have turned things around. They've got a lot of good players. Obviously, Brandon Saad, Sergei Bobrovsky. They've got a lot of good players on that team. Last year, I think there was a lot expected of them, and they fell really, really short of expectations. This year, they're blowing expectations away, and they had that incredible streak of, 900 straight wins or something like that, where they were just blowing the socks off the league. It's good that different teams are involved. I like that. And when the league talked about having parity and blah, 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 it's finally starting to show up at least a little bit in the Eastern Conference. We're also seeing Calgary and Edmonton re-enter the Western Conference playoffs, which is, you know, maybe not the greatest for American television. But look, the Calgary Flames are a really good team. They've got Johnny Gaudreau. If his finger didn't get slashed off last night in a ridiculous game, we'll talk about later. And Connor McDavid now in a national spotlight, which is great. So I'm excited about the playoffs. I want them to get here, but you're right. As we get down the stretch here, keep some guys healthy, play some kids more, cut some minutes here and there. There's nothing really valuable to achieve at this point anymore. So go into the playoffs healthy and ready to go, and I cannot wait, man. I think it's going to be great, and I think the Hawks are going to make a nice run this year.
I completely agree with you. I feel like I feel like as soon as you lock up home ice, you're probably not going to win the President's Trophy because you would have to jump over Washington, and I don't think that's going to happen. It doesn't seem like that's in the cards this year, and that's fine. I think as long as you can nail down home ice in the Western Conference portion of the playoffs, I think that's a good accomplishment. I know the Blackhawks are a hell of a road team this year. They tied their franchise record last night for most road wins in a season. So really not a lot that you are kind of worried about with the Blackhawks right now. I think that you can still have your quibbles about whether they're quick enough on the back end, whether their defensemen can deal with speedy forwards. But I think as the playoffs get started, you see that pace kind of start to go down a little bit, and it'll kind of stop being as much of an issue as it has been. You saw several guys get turned around last night. Brian Campbell, Nick Jalmerson, Duncan Keith, all got burned on plays last night. But I think outside of that, this team has everything that you want a team to have. They've got Corey Crawford, who last night played an excellent game, thought he did really well. They've got some incredible depth scoring. You've got guys like Richard Panik, who I believe is either tied with or is one goal ahead now with Brandon Saad, which is completely – that's mind-blowing stuff right there. And then you've also got your Marian Hossas, your Jonathan Taveses, and, oh, yeah, that Patrick Kane guy who is now the second-leading scorer in the NHL again. Just another ungodly game from him. That guy is playing unconscious right now. It is – ludicrous watching what he's doing. That move that you pointed out last week, the,
my God,
the backhanded move as you go around the net, pulled it off again last night, had the touch pass in the neutral zone to Marcus Kruger. Just all your hockey senses just were, you know, basking in that last night as Patrick Kane ran roughshod over the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Well, that pass to Kruger was a thing of beauty, and we see there's a lot of plays that Patrick Kane makes that are very obvious where you're like, damn, that was a terrific pass or a great shot, whatever. That the touch it takes to put a puck that's coming your direction directly on Marcus Kruger's stick in stride, there's a handful of guys in the league that can do that with that sort of accuracy and that sort of poise and control, and Patrick Kane's one of them, and that was incredible. By the way, Brandon Saad 22 goals, so tied with Richard Panik.
Okay, I knew it was close. I couldn't remember whether Panik had 23 or 22, so I appreciate you looking that up for me so I didn't have to mash away at the laptop. By the way, I feel like what I should do is every time I do that now, I should get punished and I should have to put money into, like, a show pot and we, like, donate it to charity or buy something for listeners or whatever. What do you think?
I don't think that's necessary.
Oh, yeah. I felt like I would offer, you know. I feel bad that I do it, and it's a habit I'm trying to break, so, you know, figured I'd throw it out there, man.
You are too generous and too hard on yourself, my friend. I don't think that's necessary. By the way, speaking of charity, we had an emailer this week, and I know it's not time for emails yet, but I want to make sure I mention this. A listener named Jen, who offered to the show, for whatever reasons we might need, an authentic, brand-new Marian Hossa jersey. Ooh. To give away at a, you know, if we have a broadcast or something like that, that's pretty incredible. And I wanted to talk to you about it, but now we're doing it on the air. I'm sure we can find a home for that. I want her to think about it before she gives us an authentic Hossa jersey. You know, I'm sure there's places or people that would appreciate it more, but, damn, that's a very, generous offer. Speaking of generosity, our listeners continue to come through on our Patreon site. If you'd like to support the podcast, patreon.com/madhousepod. Plenty of donation options there, but I'm not going to inundate you with that. But go check it out, see what you like, and you know, I'm sure it'll be something you can do on there for us. And it, again, every penny we make goes to the podcast, equipment for the podcast, things like that. None of it is done as profit for James or I.
Yeah, you just you went and bought something more for the podcast with podcast money. So yeah, we're still, you know, upgrading. We're doing exactly what we promised we're doing. We have not embezzled any of the money yet. You should all be very proud of us.
I'm glad you threw in there yet.
Well, come on, man. I can't in good conscience say, like, oh yeah, like, we'll never do. You and I are just evil people, Jeff.
Yeah, you never know. One of us might get in a jam or, you know, get caught with some hookers and blow and need some bail money. But again, that benefits the podcast. If we're in jail, we can't do a podcast.
Agreed. Yeah. And I think that it's especially good to start, like, kind of saving up for a legal defense fund since the NHL draft's going to be here at the end of June. We're going to need to be able to kind of bail some folks out of jail if we need to. So
definitely.
I personally, what I would like to do with the Marian Hossa jersey, and I'm just thinking about this out loud, is we should do an event during the NHL draft weekend and have that be like a charity raffle thing.
Great idea. Done. Let's do that.
Okay.
We'll see if Mariska's or Black Oak want to host us. They both have done great jobs in the past. We'll make them bid for our services. No, I'm just kidding.
We'll see which one is, like, closer to public transit from Chicago so we can get, like, our listeners from out of town, if they come in, we want to be able to do something with those guys too. So
absolutely,
I'm sure as the time approaches, we are gonna have We'll have more off-air production meetings, which, by the way, I think the on-air production meeting might have to be a segment now.
Oh, people like him because they chime in.
Yeah, they always have like really good ideas, which are much better than anything we come up with.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Yeah. By the way, you mentioned a draft. Next weekend is the final, not Final Four, the Frozen Four at the United Center. Make sure you check out our special edition interview with hockey scout Sean White. He scouted the Frozen Four for us. A nice preview. So check that out. That's posted individually from the other podcast, but that was also recorded tonight, Thursday night, March 30th. So we appreciate Sean's time. So check that out. Speaking of the Frozen Four, I know you're covering it.
Correct.
I wanted to go and get tickets, and I waited. I know I'm a dumbass, but did you know that you cannot buy individual game tickets for the Frozen Four? You have to buy the entire thing. So it's a good value. It's three games for $175 a ticket, which is good. If you're going to all three, I just want to go to one. I can't. So I want to go see the Notre Dame-Denver game on the 6th, and I wanted to buy tickets for it, but I can't. I have to buy the whole block, which is stupid.
Yeah, Major League Baseball, like, I thought for sure they were going to try to jack me out of money when I bought tickets to the World Baseball Classic. I thought for sure they'd be like, no, you can only buy a package of three games or more. Nope. Individual game tickets, bought them. I think it was like $30 a piece. Got to sit six rows from the field at Petco Park. So apparently Major League Baseball has a leg up on the NCAA. Cue some breaking news music, because that is crazy to me.
Who knew? Who would think such a thing? Man, it's no idea, man. It's frustrating. I really wanted to go, especially with Notre Dame in it. I know I think they're the only team of the Frozen Four that's not a number one seed. So they've got their work cut out for them with Denver or the winner of the Harvard-Minnesota-Duluth game. But, man, it's good to see my favorite football team succeeding at hockey, being as good at hockey as they are. And speaking of Notre Dame, you mentioned it earlier, Vincent Hinostroza's back. I love that kid. I don't know if he's going to be much of an NHL player. I do think he's an NHL, has an NHL future. I just don't know what it is, but I love watching that dude play, so I'm glad he's back.
Can I confess something?
It's not Sinbin time, but sure.
It's not really a Sinbin thing. I, for some reason, my brain defaults to every time I hear the name John Hayden, I think he went to Notre Dame. I don't know why. I repeatedly have told myself, no, he did not. And I do it every single time I think it now. But it's still there, and it will not go away, and I don't know what to do. My brain has officially ceased to be useful, and it was a really nice run. I made it about 30-some-odd years before my brain decided to betray me, so it's all downhill from here, I fear.
Hey, man, I think you made it farther than anyone thought you would. I'm impressed by I'm impressed with what you did. It's very,
that's
very good.
That's such a jerk statement, man.
It totally is. There's no doubt about it. He went to Yale.
I know he did.
Yes. And if you'd like to order yourself a Yale John Hayden jersey to remind yourself, you might be able to find that at Triple Threat Sports. I don't want to speak for them because I don't know, honestly. But give them a call. See what they got. If not, get a Hawks John Hayden jersey. I like that number 40. It will look just like it looks on the ice at the United Center. It's not one of those cheap knockoff Chinese jerseys. Look at this authentic I got for $6 at a bar. No, sir. That's a piece of crap. Take it off. You look like a moron. Go to Triple Threat Sports to get your NHL jerseys. But also, as Mike North used to say, if you have a team, baseball season's underway, right around the corner. My daughter, the Cubs, her team is getting ready for the Homewood baseball season. I'm sure your 16 and softball team's getting ready. Mm-hmm. Go get your uniforms from Triple Threat Sports. They will look fantastic. They'll help you design the logo, the fitting, all the off-ice apparel, or the coaching apparel, jackets, hats, anything you need. Triple Threat Sports will hook you up, and you will look awesome. Again, it's not just hockey, baseball, softball, football, lacrosse, and more. You will look like a professional team in the midst of other bum teams that have just t-shirts. So for more info, call Chris at 708-478-6090. That's 708-478-6090. Or email him for more info at chris@triplethreatsports.com. Triple Threat Sports, if you can wear it, they can make it, my friend.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm in a weird mood.
No, that's all good, man. I had like three asides that came up while you were doing that ad read, so I'm going to go ahead and knock those all out real quick.
First of all,
I'm looking forward. I am going to come up and see Addy play a baseball game, if that's okay with you.
Listen, I welcome you to a 6-year-old's baseball game.
Okay.
In the third inning, you will begin to fashion yourself a noose.
Yes.
And look for a tree branch.
Mm-hmm. There are many trees in Homewood, so this should not be difficult.
You're right. I was driving down, what street was that? I think it was Western. It said, you're in an arbor town or something. I'm like, oh, cool. I guess like having a lot of trees, you get a plaque.
I did not know that. That's kind of remarkable.
Well, right now, Homewood is basically underwater. It has nonstop rained here for 7 months. We have a little bit of water in our basement, but we are the only house in our – it's a subdivision, but it's not like a fancy gate. It's just what they call the little square area I live.
Mm-hmm.
We're the only house with a sump pump.
Wow.
So that's good. Everyone else has got water in their basement, just little stuff, but it's just – we are a marshy area. So our backyard is just – anytime our dog, Ray, goes out, she has to come in. She's gotten her paws cleaned so many times that she literally – comes in the door and just lays down with her paws up.
Yep.
Like, all right, let's get this over with.
That's exactly what I'm actually dog sitting out in Watsika this week, and that's exactly what the corgis are having to do. So every time they come bouncing back into the house, I have to wipe their paws off. The sump pump is working perfectly here. Knock wood. It's been going really well. Kudos to that. Kudos to the guys who fixed my parents' chimney, because I think that's where a lot of the water was coming from. So kudos to whatever company did that. But that's not my other aside.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
My other aside has everything to do with what you said about knockoff jerseys. Because I had a tweet last night about the guys who were behind the Penguins bench last night during Pierre Maguire's little interview segment wearing knockoff jerseys. Dude, for the love of God, if you are going to shell out money to stare at the back of Pierre Maguire's head, please allocate some resources to buying authentic jerseys so you don't look like a giant pudwack on national TV.
Look, it doesn't
please
even have
and
to,
thank you.
It doesn't even have to be authentic. You can go buy a nice replica jersey that's NHL licensed for $100. You don't need to go pay $400 for an authentic. I get that. That's ridiculous. It's a lot of money. Only certain people want to do that. But you're in a bar and a guy with three teeth and a cigarette dangling between comes up to you and says, hey, man, I got myself some Hawks jerseys in the back of my truck. You want to buy one? It's not authentic. I know it's got a fight strap, and I know someone in China or Indonesia sewed Reebok on there. It's not a real jersey. Don't buy it. Look at it.
You sound like you've been to a lot of bars in St. Louis with that impression you just did.
yeah. You know, my Southern accent, I've been listening to the you know, Serial, the famous podcast Serial. There's a new one called S-Town about this. I can't even begin to explain it. But all the characters are from Alabama. So it's like the really deep South accent. It's and it kind of hangs with you when you listen to, because I binge listened. I listened to all 7 episodes in 3 days.
Jesus.
So, yeah, I binged it. So now I'm like heavily influenced by the Alabama accent. But check it out. Once you've listened to all our podcasts, of course, this new S-Town is very, very fascinating and weird. And I'll tell you, man, if you're 2 episodes in and you're starting to get a little fatigued, hold tight, because it's going to take a total 180 and change on you. So stick it out. It's worth it. 7 episodes. I think the longest one is maybe an hour 10. So check them out. So last night, as the two marquee teams in the NHL, the Blackhawks and Penguins, are playing on NBCSN, the crew of Milbury and Keith Jones decided to delight us with tales from the stupid-ass Kings and Flames game because it was full of fights. I am just, you know, yesterday, I don't know if our listeners saw this, but an unsealed document came out regarding concussions, specifically the Martin Havlat injury after the Cronwall hit. That was back in 2009 when Havlat was with the Blackhawks. And some exchanges between doctors and league officials and referees that just turn your stomach. It's easy to find if you want to find it. I also tweeted that, so go find that at JayZawoski670. But on the day that comes out, and it's a bad look for the league, it's a bad look for everybody involved. You have Stephen Walcom, the head of officiating, saying these leftist tree-hugging hippies want to tell us that concussions are ruining the game, blah, blah, blah. when that kind of crap comes out, that night, you've got Mike Milbury calling for a bloodbath because 10 days ago, Matthew Tkachuk gave Drew Doughty an elbow to the face, and they each guy had a comment about it in the media, and they were just, oh, there's going to be a war tonight. And then Milbury's disgust that the game was not violent enough. This is the face of your league in America. Mike Milbury is your main studio host on NBCSN, and that's the message he's portraying on that day. This is not about fighting. It's not about should it or should it not be in the game. We've had that discussion 100 times. Mm-hmm. We're not getting into it again. But is this the sort of message you want your league portraying on its national broadcast on one of the most, I would assume, I haven't seen the ratings yet, but I would assume Hawks-Penguins up against...
It's going to be a pretty highly rated game, yeah.
Of course, up against nothing, sports-wise, did pretty well last night. And that's what the hockey fans saw, was one meatball nutbag just pining for guys to kill each other. It was absolutely ridiculous, and I hated it, and it pissed me off.
What do you expect from a guy that tried to beat somebody with his shoe?
Well, see, that's the thing. And I you're right. I shouldn't expect more from Milbury either, because that's what he is. That's what he's always been. He's not going to change. What I want is for the NHL to find someone with a different thought, to find someone who offers something different than old-time hockey in retribution. And back in my day, we used to drop the gloves. Okay, fine. Great. There was a time and place for that. Give me something new. Give me something fresh. There's got to be somebody.
Go drop the gloves outside with a homeless dude if you're really wanting to get your rocks off with a fight. Seriously, dude. Well, I'm tired of him beating that same drum over and over again. Not everything in the NHL has to get solved with, oh, there's not a Donnybrook, it's not right, dude. Hockey fight. I just drooled all over myself, which I imagine Mike Milbury has done 3,000 or 4,000 times in his life.
Well, that was a good impersonation. I'm very on the fence about fights, because Bob Probert was one of the people that got me to love hockey, okay? And it wasn't Bob Probert's goal scoring that made me love hockey, right? It was the fact that he was the baddest ass dude to ever lace him up. The guy was the heavyweight champ of all time. I don't think there's that much of an argument about it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I also had the temporary privilege and then later regret of working with Bob Probert after he retired, where at first he was a delightful guy, happy to be there, happy to have a new opportunity in his career. He would bring his daughters to work with him so they could watch him be on the radio. Then his daughters stopped showing up a little bit, and then he would start to show up late. And then when he did show up, he'd be covered in sweat. And then he would just stop showing up altogether. And then a couple years later, he was dead. Okay, so while I loved hockey fights, and when one happens in the game, I'm still excited about it. The meatball in me comes out, the bloodlust in me comes out, and I enjoy watching it. It's hard for me to fully just let go, though, like I did in the past, and just say, yeah, kick his ass. We know too much now. The science is too clear. And we've seen too many people, Derek Pougard, Steve Monitor, Bob Probert, Rick Rippon, Wade Bielak, all these guys have all played within the last 10 years, and they're all dead.
Yeah.
There's a problem here, and it's not just from fighting, of course not, but you see the way these guys, they handle the stress of fighting, they medicate with illegal narcotics, they drink so they can sleep, it's just... It's a vicious cycle, and while it was great in the 80s and 90s, and before we knew all this stuff about it, now that we learn more, I guess you say ignorance is bliss, I think that these guys have to change the way they talk about it, because the science has changed, and yeah, the facts have changed, and it just bugs me that instead of that, you have Mike Milbury on NBCSN last night saying, oh, you know, the political correct world wants us to worry about concussions. No, we want you to worry about player safety and these guys' livelihoods as they go on, and their families. This is a damn game.
And literally their existences after they're done playing hockey.
Exactly. Bob Probert leaves. I know he has at least 2 children behind,
mm-hmm,
that should have these years of his retirement to celebrate with him and live a great life with him. I worked with Patrick Manley for a couple of years at The Score. That's a guy who made pretty good money in his NFL career. Not great money, but good money where he can retire and just live life. I'm watching that dude live his life with his daughter and his wife, traveling the world, going to do charitable things in, you know, impoverished nations, making the best of his retirement, taking advantage of the career he had. Guys like Bob Probert, who had to fight to stay in the league, you know, they're robbed of that. And to start celebrating and calling people basically pussies for not liking the way, you know, fighting has, the way the science has proven, it's not a pussy thing. It's a concern for humanity thing. And that's just, and, you know, I don't know. I know people are going to write us back and tell us to toughen up and not be pussies, but whatever. I don't want to see another hockey player die so I can watch a slap fight for 10 minutes. I don't know. I'm sort of at a loss here. Sorry.
You're reminding me of, you know, reading the stuff that Daniel Carcillo has written about being a fighter. You're reminding me, I know it's not hockey, but you're reminding me of Aubrey Huff talking about how he took Adderall when he was a Major League Baseball player and how at one point he actually was on the verge of killing himself because of the stuff that he was doing to his body, the chemicals he was taking to stay playing. It's unreal the sacrifices that these guys make and the things that they do in the moment to stay in the sport. And the more you hear these stories, I feel like the more you just kind of think about that as guys like Milbury go off on these tangents about how meeting fist with face is something that you should do as a hockey player to stand up and be a man and yada yada. And that old school barbarian attitude is, hopefully it's going to die out someday, because I would much prefer watching a guy like Patrick Kane dish the puck at center ice to Marcus Kruger than I would to see Ryan Hartman throwing gloves with Dan Hamhuis. Really, like, I prefer a well-executed goal to a fight any day of the week, and I feel like too often we just default, and I'm guilty of it too. I have the same thing that you have, Jay. If I see a big fight in hockey, if I see a guy get laid out in football on a big clean hit over the middle, that, like, machismo, that, like, macho part of yourself, like, gets real giddy about it. But I think I don't hold on to it as much as I used to, because then I start remembering the, you know, the dementia of older players and the plights that they've had to go through and all the early deaths and all that. And it's been an incredible experience getting to that point where I don't just get caught up in the, you know, emotion of the moment and just let it carry me away. It kind of hits and then it fades away really quickly, because I realize that there's a price that you pay for every punch that lands or every hit that you absorb. There is a price, and these guys obviously nowadays know what they're getting themselves into, but that still doesn't make it any easier for me to just stand by and watch it and watch people condone it, because frankly I'm getting to a point where I'm just not able to kind of justify its existence in the game anymore.
Well, I'm the same way, and I'm not going to criticize people who do like fighting, okay? That's fine. It's cool. It's entertaining as hell. I understand that. And if you can separate the outcome, like the long-term outcome, from the moment, cool. I'm not judging anyone. I just want to be clear what I'm saying here. To have your league spokesman on a bad day visually for the league to come out and root for a bloodbath, say that I hope this game goes to overtime, I'm enjoying it so much, blah, 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 blah. It's a terrible look, and it's so out of touch. And maybe the league doesn't censor their announcers, and maybe that's a good thing. But at the same time, Milbury's got to know. These guys, look, Milbury, he played with a lot of, and coached a lot of these guys who have gone on and died or have had serious, you know, post-career issues. It's not being a pussy. It's not being a tree hugger. It's not being politically correct. The science is the science. It's been proven. Derek Bugard's brain proved to have CTE when they studied it. And it wasn't from, you know, speed skating. It wasn't, you know what I mean? It's just to push back against it and to say, if you're forcing these beliefs on us, you're a pussy, or you're a liberal.
You're the PC police, right?
Exactly. That's not it. I think that changing a long-held opinion because the science has changed, if that's liberal, then fine. I'm a liberal. Great.
Yeah. Well, we're just a bunch of SJWs, Jay, and that's apparently all we do is worry about feelings, and we're snowflakes, and we're triggered, and whatever other words you want to kind of casually cast at us, I guess.
All right, let's have some fun. It's been too serious. Let's get some laughs out. Sorry about the. I'm not sorry. Sometimes we are passionate about these things, and I think it's why people listen to us. But we don't want to do all serious, all you know.
No way, man.
Depressing. Shut up, Alexa. Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't say anything like that name. Did I? This happened every week we've had the podcast. She must just assume, like, someone's down here yelling. They must be talking to me.
There's no Alexa here, so I don't have to worry about that. All I have is a Dennis Rodman McDonald's cup, which I have no idea where my mom dug that out of, so that's a little weird. But anyway,
hang on.
Yes, I believe it's time for fun.
Hang on. Alexa, shut the hell up.
Compelling radio.
She had
right
no response
here.
To that.
Yeah.
She just blinked at me.
I feel like we just like stole a bit from Pardon My Take, the bad radio bit where you're just going to yell at Alexa.
Well, I was hoping she'd respond back. All right. You ready to do, we haven't done it in a couple weeks, but are you ready to do the sin bin?
I am. I've got a good sin bin this week, so let's do it.
Let's enter the sin bin on the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
You go to the box, you know, 2 minutes by yourself, and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
The sin bin is brought to you by our pals at Marishka's Restaurant, 604 Theodore Street in Crest Hill, just west of Route 53, 815-723-9371. We talk to you about Marishka's every week. I'm just going to shoot from the hip on this one, okay, because I don't feel like reading. I'm fired up. I'm triggered, like you said, so I'm just going to tell you about Marishka's. They've got the world's best poor boys, okay? So if you've ever had a craving or if you've ever tasted a poor boy, go to Marishka's. It'll be the best one you've ever had. I promise you that. If you're not a poor boy person for some reason, get the Icelandic cod. It's some of the best you'll ever have there. They've got steaks. They've got burgers. They've got chops. Everything's handmade on premises. They've got awesome, gigantic onion rings, double baked potatoes the size of a football. Everything you need that tastes delicious. You want something awesome? Go to Marishka's. You will find it. I don't care what kind of food you eat. They have it for you. They've got a full carryout menu, a full bar with craft brews, great craft brews, and banquet facilities for up to 110 people. So visit Marishka's.com or check them out on Facebook. They're open 7 days a week, closed only on Easter, Christmas, the 4th of July, and Thanksgiving. Go to Marishka's. They're amazing. You'll love it, I promise. James, go on with your sin.
Okay, Jay, so you, as many of the listeners know, I recently accepted a full-time position at NBC Chicago, so I am now working 5 days a week, give or take, at the Tower in Chicago. It's fantastic. The commute in, I thought it was going to be a nightmare. It's been really good so far. I love being able to listen to podcasts, read books, do whatever I want on the train, get into the office, get to hang out with the coworkers that basically until now I've only really interacted with on Slack and other kind of social media like that. All of it's been fantastic. It literally, though, has taken me a couple of weeks of doing this to develop a very unhealthy distaste for tourists in Chicago. The route that I take to work, I have to walk up the Mag Mile from Millennium Station to get to NBC Tower. And so ultimately, you're going to come across people taking selfies on the Chicago River Bridge or in front of the Tribune Building or whatever. And I have repeatedly, 3 or 4 times already, now passively, aggressively, whatever you want to call it, walk through people's pictures because I'm sick of having to wait for everybody to get done taking photos. And I feel like they're inconveniencing everybody else, so I have no qualms about inconveniencing them. And I would like to know, am I sinning by doing that?
You're kind of being a dick.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. Because, you know, this part of working downtown, and I know you're new at it, but and I know they can be in your way, and they can be slow, and they can be annoying, but part of the reason our city is as beautiful it is, at least where you're speaking of, is because of those tourists. So I say welcome them. Don't be like a meatball hockey fan. It's like, I was a fan and when they sucked. Don't be that way. Welcome people to our beautiful city. I think you'll get over it. You'll get used to it. You'll find a shortcut or something like that. You'll find a way to navigate through it. I will say, on the bridge on Michigan Avenue, you just sometimes want to flip people right over it.
Yeah, that's kind of what that's kind of what's ended up happening. In fact, I think that at least two of the instances that I'm thinking of did occur on the bridge,
and you've killed
and
them.
In both cases, I tried to wait. I gave them about 15, 20 seconds, and then I was just like, you know what? You're taking too damn long. And I just walk right on through.
All right. If it's you getting annoyed, I know it's egregious. Because you're a pretty easygoing dude. So am I with that sort of stuff. So, of course, there's a time and a place to be like, okay, can we not? Like, can you be prepared? It's like, it's not the same thing. But today, a coworker called. Let's call him Les G. No, that's too obvious. Let's call him L. Grobstein.
Wow.
He called up and he's like, I need the number for a person in promotions. They have something of mine. I'm like, okay, Les, the number is 312. He's like, hang on, let me grab a pen and paper. Like, why would you not do that before you called me?
You got to forgive him, man. It's that time of day. He like probably has just woken up from his momentary stasis, because I don't know when that dude sleeps.
I don't think he does. He's like a cyborg.
Yeah.
He's a nice man. It just today I was like, it was the lessiest thing of all time. All right. So here's my confession. I'm having an affair. No, I'm just
kidding. Yes.
My confession's kind of like this. Okay. Here's a story.
Wait. Did you have a meal with a woman who wasn't your wife?
I was hoping you'd bring that up. What a creep ass.
God, that's so weird.
I will not have dinner with a woman that's not my wife. Okay, oh my cool. Because you can't help but sexualize every woman you walk past. You creep ass.
Well, clearly, look at his policies in Indiana. He clearly does that. Anyway, we're not getting political here.
No. Whoa. Okay, so here's a story. By my old house in Payless Heights, there's a newish taco place. It's really good. It's only getting better as they're sort of, you know, finding their groove. There's a woman there that runs the restaurant. Her parents own it, but she manages. She's the waitress. She takes orders. She sort of does all the work. And she's attractive. She's very cute. I have a thing for Latinas anyway. And I've really been playing it up with hope. Like, oh, you know, like just kind of because she doesn't care. She doesn't get mad. We just joke around about that stuff. So the other day we ordered from there and I called and placed the order. And she's like, okay, you know, 15 minutes. And I walked in and she goes, I knew it was you when I heard your voice on the phone. And I was like, oh my God.
Ooh.
I know. Suddenly I was like, this got a little bit real.
Yeah, the joke has now taken on a very interesting new direction.
Well, look, you know I would never, ever cheat on my wife. But I have to. Here's my sin, I guess is my sin. Am I wrong for, like, enjoying the fact that a girl that I find attractive also thinks I'm attractive? I'm never going to act on it. I don't know her last name. I'm never going to see her outside of the restaurant. Is it bad that I think it's cool that another woman aside from my wife thinks I'm somewhat cute?
No, I don't think so. I think the only way that I would flag you with a penalty for that is if you like kind of led her on, I guess that would be.
Shut up.
You know what I'm saying, Jay. It is perfectly okay to enjoy the fact that someone finds you attractive, but if you, like, even subconsciously, even like inadvertently, if you realize you're, you know, shoveling some coal onto the fire, so to speak, that's when it becomes not cool. So you sound like you're okay right now. Just make sure. Take it easy, man.
Saying, like, don't go in there and make small talk or chat or flirt with her?
Basically, yeah. That's what I'm going with there.
Let me ask you this then. If I do that, right? If I go in, let's say I order from there, which you do all the time when I'm at my parents' house. And I go in there and I say, how's business? How's everything going?
That's not flirting, you jerk. You know.
Okay, I don't know. I'm trying to. I want to find out what's acceptable and what's not.
Quit being such a prude, man.
Well, here's the whole thing started because last summer when we were still in Payless, Hope and I had a garden that just, for whatever reason, the only things that took off in the garden were jalapenos and ghost peppers, which are like, cool, I'll use one ghost pepper in a year. I had hundreds of ghost peppers. So I said to her, I'm like, if I brought some produce in, we have too much. We can't do anything with it. Would you use it for your food? She's like, absolutely. We'll take jalapenos. And if like, we had tomatoes and some other like tomatillos, stuff like that. So I brought every now and again, I would bring her a bag of produce. When I ordered, not just like, I'm here, here you go, you know. But when we go in there, I'd make a point
to bring
some...
Maybe I got some spicy peppers for you.
Exactly. But I'm just making sure that I'm not, you know...
Yeah.
I kind of tease Hope about it. Like, oh, you know, she likes me and see her. All right. Because I'm not keeping it from her.
Right.
All right, good. I
get the feeling that if you end up doing that, you would kind of know and you would dial it back. So just keep the line in your mind, man. That's all I'm going to say.
That's a good way to put it. Cause there have been incidents where like cause here's the other deal is like, I am completely unaware if a woman likes me. Like I have no, like there have been times in my adult life where I've looked back on moments in college and been like, oh my God, she liked me. Like slap my help. Like I never realized it at the time. So I have a bad radar for that. And Hope tells me, like, there's a lot of girls that like you. You don't even know it. I'm like, really? So when I do sense it, I always step back.
There was one recently. Guy, Jay.
That's not what I'm saying. But there was one recently where Hope pointed out to me, and I'm like, okay, yeah, you're kind of right. I'm going to back this off a little bit. So, all right, cool. I just want to make sure. I don't want to be a bad husband. I love my wife very much. I mean, she flashes me on the podcast. What more could I ask from a woman?
Is that the only time she flashes you, or does she do it other times, too?
A lot.
There you go. That's a healthy marriage right there, man. I appreciate that.
It does, yes. I will have a photo album on it. No, I'm just kidding.
Whoa. Okay.
All right. That was a good sin bin. I think we both sort of confessed what was on our minds, but in the end, we're not really horrible guys.
And I did something legit, like, douchebaggy, and that's not something I normally do. So.
You didn't do what you thought it. You're defined by your actions, not your thoughts.
I've walked through pictures twice.
Ah, screw, that's fine. They can
I'm just
take another
saying,
one.
I agree with you. I'm just saying I've done it, and I didn't feel awful about it. So I guess, yeah, that's why I wanted to kind of get the lay of the land there to see on the scale of douchebaggery how that ranked. So I appreciate that, Jay. Thanks for not judging me.
Well, I hope you feel better, man. I really do.
Yeah.
All right, you ready for emails?
I am indeed ready for emails, sir.
Let's do it.
Email the guys at madhousepod@gmail.com or follow them on Twitter @madhousepod.
The email segment, as always, is brought to our, let's try that again, professional broadcaster. This email segment is sponsored by the Black Oak, a newish addition to the South Suburbs. The Black Oak is a full-service restaurant and tavern located at 96th and Pulaski in Oaklawn. The Black Oak serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner with hours from 7 a.m. to 2 a.m., 7 days a week. So like we say, if they're awake, you're open. Or if they're open, you're awake. Or if you're awake, they're open. Any of those work. All three. Just go with whichever one you like. They have signature burgers with a proprietary... This is going awesome.
You are having a wonderful read right now.
I was thinking proprietary in my head before I said it, and I knew I'd screwed up when I got there. Mm. Anyway, their burgers are awesome. Beef brisket, beef chuck, short rib blend, fantastic. Mm. I'm doing a where I kiss my fingers, that thing. They got a steak sandwich made from Australian Wagyu sirloin. You will love every bite. 13 TVs, so you'll catch every minute of Blackhawks playoff action on the horizon. So stop by for an outstanding meal and stay for the great atmosphere. Contact the Black Oak at 708-572-4500 or on Facebook at facebook.com/Black Oak Tavern. The Black Oak, the South Suburbs' finest casual upscale dining. And like we always say, when you go to these fine establishments, let them know that the Madhouse Podcast sent you, and they'll stare at you blankly, but we'll feel good knowing you said it anyway.
And also mention that we badly butchered the read, and we'll see how that plays with our sponsors, who have been nothing but good to us. They find out that Jay couldn't make it through the word proprietary.
It's a hard word.
I know it's a hard word, especially when you've got so much love in your heart for Latinas. It's just kind of it's the way it's going to be right now, I think.
You're a jerk. All right. The first email comes to us from Paul in Watsika, who says, James.
Hey, I'm in Watsika. That's so weird.
He says, James, it's a small world. Really cool that your mom lives here. I've been around Wetzikon most of my life and bought a house here when I got married 13 years ago. Next time you visit, I'll buy you a beer or stop by my garage and help yourself to Goose Island in the fridge. There you go. What are you doing tonight? Go find Paul. All right, he says...
You know what? Paul, email me at jamesnaveau@gmail.com. I actually might take you up on that because I don't have a lot of beer here right now.
Well, why don't you log into the Madhouse email and find him that way?
You know what? I guess I could do that. Yeah. That sounds like work, though.
It's a little bit, but you can do it. All right. He says, it appears we'll be seeing a first-round repeat against the Blues. I must address a colossal issue I have had with last year's playoffs. Why in the hell do Stanley Cup playoff games between two central time zone teams start at 8:30 p.m.? Three of the seven games started at this time, and no one to date has been able to give me a reasonable answer as to why. Feel free to answer the following in order. Is the NHL stupid?
Yes. Yes.
Do they purposely alienate all the working class fans east of the Mississippi?
I don't think so. I think it goes back to, it's inadvertent, I will say.
It goes back to the stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
Do they even know where their core viewers are or know how to spell demographics?
Probably not.
Do they really believe West Coast fans give two shits about who plays wins outside your division?
I honestly feel like the main thing that they're trying to do is they're trying to make sure that teams kind of get, like, exclusive window, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, they're trying to not have too much overlap in the games, maybe. Like, that's about the only reason I can think of. Jay, am I on the right track with that?
That's got to be it. It's just, it is a little bit ridiculous.
No, it totally is.
You know, and every year we hear the same complaint, you know, from East Coast and Central Division team, or East Coast and Western Conference fans, that the games start too late. So it's, I don't know. They must have a reason. I wish they would explain it. But, you know, Gary Bettman has so much good customer service. I'm sure he'll just explain that right away.
You know what, though? We do have to give Gary Bettman a little bit of credit here. Just a little. Hear me out. They are going to publicize the names of players that are protected and not protected for the expansion draft. Originally, they weren't going to. Now they are.
Okay, NHL, why do you like that idea?
Because how cool is it going to be in the time leading up to that draft to be able to speculate on who the hell they're going to take? That's literally the entire reason to pay attention to it.
Well, it's going to be really cool until you're one of those players. And you know that your team...
Get over it.
Jeez, take it easy, Milbury.
Just saying, man. I feel like, I get like, oh, we want to make sure the play... Dude, it's a business. Sorry, that's kind of the way it goes. And it's not like you're getting thrown out of the league if you get picked. You get to go to Las Vegas. Oh, darn. What a terrible stroke of luck I've had. I have to go to Las Vegas. And even if you don't get picked, guess what? It's a business. You're still getting paid next season by your team. If anything, it should motivate them to play harder and be like, hey, I'm going to show you. You're going to make me available.
Smarter than that.
No.
So if Marcus Kruger gets taken by the Golden Knights, you're going to say that, well, he just didn't play hard enough in Chicago?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
That's kind of what you're saying.
No, I'm saying either there are two things that are going to end up happening. One, you get taken, you get to go to Vegas. It's not awful, and your team's not going to be that bad. They deliberately structured this so that you can get some decent players out there. So it's not like you're going to hockey purgatory if you get sent there. And two, if you don't, it gives you just that little bit more incentive to prove that, hey, you know what? I am still here, but I'm going to show you that you were wrong for, you know, allowing me to be exposed in this draft. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's a matter of you didn't play hard enough. That's what. No, I'm just saying that you can, if you look at it positively, you won't have time to worry about, oh, my feelings are hurt. That's all I'm saying.
All right. I'm surprised you have that take on it. I'm surprised that's the way you. It's fine. You're not. I don't think either of us are wrong. It's just a difference of opinion.
Sure.
If I was to predict how you felt about it, I would think you would err on the side of players. That's just me.
I think in this instance, I'm taking the side of fans who want the process to be more interesting. I think
it definitely is more interesting for fans. There's no question about that.
Yeah,
you're right.
I think that ultimately wins out over my concern about the player and what they kind of feel about it. And I just was trying to kind of offer some positives for it for the players if they feel that way. So I'm trying to be nice, but I'm also trying to emphasize the fact that I want this to be as fan friendly as possible.
Fair enough. All right, next email comes from Chris Sturm. He says, with the success Caro is having at second-line center, do you think once Anisimov comes back, they'll consider placing him on a third line with Hartman and Hossa replacing Kruger? I think this would give them three viable lines, making them by far the top contender in the West, in my opinion. I'm not taking Marcus Kruger out for Tanner Caro. I like Tanner Caro a lot, but I think Marcus Kruger does a lot more. And I know Caro has put up some offense here. Well, he's playing with Panarin and Kane. That's a big part of it. So I'm not making that move. I'm putting Anisimov right back on that second line, bumping Kruger down, and that's it. That's really all I'm doing.
I'm inclined to agree with you, Jay, but the fact that Tanner Caro has even made this a discussion speaks a lot to, I think, what kind of player he is. And
but definitely.
I've been very impressed with how he's played defensively this season, and honestly, I've really kind of liked the way he's kind of gelled with Kane and Panarin. I feel like it's a good indicator to me in the future that he can potentially be more than just like an ace penalty killer, that maybe he's got a little bit of offensive upside to his game too.
I am very interested to see his offensive upside, and this is a good way to see it. And so far he has not looked left behind, but I think with this small of a sample size, as soon as Anisimov is back, which should be right before the playoffs, you plug him right back in with that line that's shown probably the best consistent chemistry over the last 2 years. I don't mess with that at all.
Right, you're keeping Schmaltz on the top line with Panic and Taves. You're putting Anisimov back on the second line. You're kind of reverting back, and there's very good reason to. But at the very least, you know in the future that even in a limited sample size, Tanner Caro has not looked out of place on that line.
Definitely. All right, next one from Kevin. He says, have you ever seen a decent team like the Kings become so mediocre and old in one season? Also, Carey Price is one of the captains for the All-Star game and had a C on the jersey. Got me to thinking why there are no goalies who are captains of a team. Is there a logical answer or just one of those things? Roberto Luongo was captain of the Canucks not too long ago.
Yes, that's the only one I can think of recently where the goaltender was a captain.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just kind of always been skaters. Part of the role of a captain is to talk to referees when there's a penalty or something that needs to be discussed, and maybe goalies aren't in the best position to do that, but I don't know. I guess I'm surprised that there haven't been more. There's no rule against it, obviously.
Right. You obviously you don't have a C on your jersey, though. That's the only... Yeah. I think part of it is the fact that starting goaltenders in the NHL now, even the guys who play a lot, still only play 60 to 65 games usually. They still... Yeah. About a quarter of the season, they're not on the ice. So I get that. I get why you wouldn't necessarily want your goaltender to be a captain, because they're not going to be out there all 82 games. It makes sense. There's no rule against it. But, yeah, that's kind of an interesting little coincidence.
All right. Last email here from Craig. Do you two see any improvement in TVR's ability to manage the puck in the face of a withering forecheck? He looked pretty overwhelmed in the Tampa game during the second period. Yeah, if you come right at TVR, he's going to give you the puck.
Pretty much.
And I know we've been hard on him this year, and I don't know if we discussed this last week, but our buddy Blackhawks Breakdown has many graphs to sort of say, like, where a player belongs, right? Like, according to his metrics, he should be a second-pairing defenseman, and that's what it says for Van Riemsdyk. And I know his metrics might look better than the eye test, but I see a lot of errors that are both forced and unforced, him just sort of tripping over the blue line several times. I think he's gotten a lot better and a lot more consistent this year, for sure. Absolutely. But he still scares me when he's out there, man. If you come at him with a hard forecheck, he is a disaster.
I'm not going to agree with you that he's gotten a lot better. I've seen improvement, but it's not like leaps and bounds, like, oh my God, I feel so much better about him. Not willing to go that far yet. I did want to point out, I know a lot of listeners and a lot of Blackhawks fans have accused Pat Foley and Eddie Olczyk of pushing narratives during broadcasts. And one of them I've heard a lot is that anytime Trevor Van Riemsdyk does anything, those guys bang the drum for him incredibly loud. And people have often wondered whether that's like a front office directive, yada, yada. Usually I kind of let that stuff go, because conspiracy theories just I don't really have a ton of time for. But the other night when Trevor Van Riemsdyk literally turned his head to make sure he didn't blindly pass the puck to a member of the Lightning, Pat Foley kept talking about it for like 10 minutes.
What a great veteran move.
It was so ridiculous. It is hockey 101 not to blindly pass the puck up the boards if you have time. That is not something that you deserve to be praised like you just completed the friggin' Sistine Chapel. By the way, ridiculous.
What happened on that play, too? He looked over and it was against the Lightning, right?
Yes.
Two Lightning's players converged on him and took the puck away. So it's not like he was like, oh, what a smart, heady play. No, he just didn't make a disaster mistake. Oh, my God. You're right.
He basically crashed a car instead of a plane. That's what happened.
Hey, man, baby steps.
Oh, my God. It was the most, like, ridiculous, like, slobbering praise I've ever heard for a play that just didn't deserve it. You may as well have praised him for tying his skates correctly.
Well, see, that's
preposterous.
That's the thing that got me when you were gone in Arizona for John Hayden's first game.
Yes, I remember your tweets about
that. Oh, my God. Like, and I think John Hayden's been awesome. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I really like the kid. But in his first game, he played like 6 minutes and pretty much was just out there. That was sort of what he was doing. Just a slobber fest for 2 minutes. It was either first or second intermission in the following period of just a suck fest on John Hayden. I'm like, dude, I get it. You know, he's American, or I don't know, Canadian, whatever he is. He's North American. He went to college. He's
at Yale.
Good-looking young skater. Like, I get it. He's everything that you love. But let's pump the brakes on John Hayden's first game. If they want to do that now, after he's put together 5, 6, 7 strong games, by all means, go for it. But that first game, he was barely even like a factor on the ice at all, good or bad. He was just a guy out there in a uniform skating. And they were just like, you could see the drool coming off their lips. It was just weird. And that, see, I wouldn't notice it as much if I didn't notice them going out of their way to avoid praising Teuvo Teravainen. And this year, they've been that way with Brian Campbell. Anytime Brian Campbell makes a mistake, Foley like sighs about it. Mm-hmm. Like, an unforced turnover by 50. Like, you know, he's got his pets. He's got his guys. And apparently he's not a fan of Brian Campbell, wasn't a fan of Teuvo Teravainen, and he was just loves TVR and John Hayden. So, whatever. It is what it is. But I'm with you, man. It's getting a little transparent.
Yeah, I don't think it's a front office directive, for the record. I feel like that kind of part of the theory probably doesn't hold water, but dang. Like, you can tell they just have guys that they love to love on. Because that just, to me, it just kept going on and on and on. And I just was like, you know what? I've had it. I'm commenting on this. This is ludicrous. And yeah, a lot of people agreed with me. That kind of made me feel good that I wasn't alone and that I wasn't, like, imagining that drool fest. That was, woof, God.
Yeah, totally right. All right, man, very good podcast tonight. Thank you very much, James, for your time and your friendship and your guidance. I don't know what I'm talking about. Make sure you check out our interview with Sean White, our Frozen Four preview. That's also posted like all the other podcasts. It's just a special edition podcast, about a 20-minute interview with Sean White, scout for the Green Bay Gamblers. He gives you everything you need to know and more about the Frozen Four. So make sure you check that out, as you would any of our Madhouse podcasts. So until next week, my name is Jay Zawoski. For my partner, James Naveau, the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast has been brought to you by Triple Threat Sports. For all your team outfitting needs, call Chris at 708-478-6090. The Black Oak and Oak Lawn, the South Suburbs' finest casual upscale dining, and Marishka's in Crest Hill. Family owned and operated since 1933. Thank you all so much for listening. We will talk to you soon. Until then, have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week. Thanks.